I know that there are different perspectives at play here. You know, certainly when we go into the pandemic, when we entered the pandemic, we were not well poised to offer virtual schooling. But because of the great work of our team members, today, we are quite effective at offering virtual schooling, and we're getting better every day. We still have a lot of things we need to improve. But one of the blessings that's happened to us in the last month or so is that the State Department of Education for Iowa has approved the Sioux City School District as a district who may continue virtual schooling outside of the pandemic. And there aren't many districts in this state that are allowed to do such a thing. And so outside of the pandemic, after the pandemic, and I believe permanently into the future, we will have virtual schooling as one of the school choice options for families in our district, families around the region, and frankly, families in the state of Iowa. And I'm thankful for that. I don't personally think that every child should learn in a virtual setting. I don't personally think that a virtual setting is better for most kids than a in-person on-site instruction. But there are some out there who are, for whatever reasons, it could be a health reason, it could be a family change reason, that virtual schooling really works well for them. I myself have two children. I guess they're not children anymore. The youngest one's 24 years old. But of my two kids, one of them would have been very well suited to virtual learning. The other one, not so much. And so we have to understand that virtual schooling is an option, but it's an option for those who can survive it well. And so we know that, you know, the federal funding has been a real blessing to help us get through the challenges of the pandemic. And we've received allotments for the first two phases of that federal funding. We call it ESSERS. It's Elementary Secondary School Educational Relief Act. And of course, because it's governmental, we got an acronym then. You know, and so it's ESSERS 1 and ESSERS 2. The ESSERS 1 money was a smaller amount. It's a big number, but it's just under $3 million, which we really used, and it's all gone now. But we really used it to get personal protective equipment, to set up our schools for in-person learning, to buy technology for virtual learning, those sorts of things. What we're talking about today is the ESSERS 2 allocation. It's a much greater number at about $17 million. And what we're using, and we have, by the way, until September of 2023 to spend that ESSERS 2 money. And we have to recognize it's one-time money. It's not going to continue. And so ESSERS 2 must be spent, in my opinion, on one-time items so that we don't get a whole bunch of positions with it that we won't be able to continue once that money goes away. And so we're looking at ways in which we can use it for one-time expenses like training staff, getting equipment, designing facilities that will better serve our students into the future. And I personally believe that the future for us will not be normal, not what we used to know. It will be a new normal that includes virtual schooling as a component, not the entirety of the district, but a component of the district's formula for success. And I know there are people out there that disagree with that, and I respect that. That's just part of the work that I do every day. You know, there's people who have disagreements over different things. But I do believe virtual schooling is important for us to establish well. You know, like right now, all of our virtual school students are still assigned to a local school building, you know, whether that be our Lus Hills Elementary or our Hunt Elementary or North High School or West Middle School. In the future, as we go out of the pandemic, we're going to have we don't have a name for it yet because that's a community process right now, but something similar to the Sioux City Virtual Academy, that those students won't necessarily be assigned to a home building anymore. They'll be assigned to this virtual academy. And we've got to do a lot of work to make certain that our staff members who are teaching in this academy can collaborate, work together, learn together, and deliver instruction in the best way known today. One of the things that we've learned is that virtual teaching is very different than in-person teaching. It's not better, it's not worse, it's just a lot of different strategies. We need those teachers together so they can deliver that with the highest quality possible.
And I think one of the budget items said that I think it's just over $2.1 million or almost $2.2 million that would be spent on doing something like that.
Yes, that's a total amount that would include the build out of some space, some equipment and supplies that are necessary for that. We're trying to use the challenge of this pandemic and the help of this recovery money to get us set up well for the future, even beyond the pandemic. You know, certainly that's what the recovery money is intended for, to help us get through the challenge and to come out of the challenge even stronger. And so, yes, there's some money in there for some rented space while we await the design of a facility and the equipment to arrive. And so there are just numerous pieces together that make that happen. The other thing that I would note is that we've got a third phase of this ESSERS money, this relief money coming. It's not here yet, but we do understand from the communication out of our Department of Education that it's likely going to be 2 to 2.5 times the amount we've already received. So we're looking at probably another, you know, $30, $40, $50 million that we'll be able to use to continue our progress on these matters. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, to take the money that we have as known, it's available to us today, and to maximize the use of that as best we can, so that as we begin to expend any other dollars coming forward, we're doing so in a way that can kind of propel us out of that pandemic.
Mr. Greenwell also said that he was concerned because he felt like there's no money earmarked for students who have already fallen behind due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, yeah, I've talked to Mr. Greenwell a fair amount, and I respect our board members and respect him. I respect the volunteer service that they all give. And so I certainly don't want to be argumentative with a statement he made that I didn't even hear myself. But, you know, I believe that there is a great deal of focus and design on the way in which we're recommending that we spend these dollars on remedial efforts. When you think about how you remediate kids who had 4 months of school that they didn't get to attend, you know, really the, I guess the 4 months would include the summer and the summer school programs, but, you know, they really missed the last quarter of last school year. And as we look at our data this year, we're struggling in the greatest area for us has been math. We didn't drop as far in literacy as we did in math, even though we missed a quarter of the school year. And that's nobody's fault, but we've got to put strategies in place to climb out of those challenges. And so there's a lot of focus in this plan that we have on training teachers on specific things so that they can help climb and help those students with those specific scenarios to climb out of that. It's not just going back and teaching the stuff we would have taught that quarter. We've got to take a look at where the kids are today and what strategies will help us get out of that. So there's a lot of money built in there for professional development, which allows our staff members to study that data and make decisions on how to best use that data to climb out with the students. There's money put in there for students to receive outside of school tutoring, Saturday school, after school. There will be more in this third round of ESSERS funding that has to do with some summer programs as well, but we just can't talk about it yet because we don't have the allocation given to us yet. And there's very little, if any at all, that's focused on, say as an example, administrative costs, because I know that concern can be there with members of the public that we're, you know, the administrative costs are too high. Yes, we're looking at some leaders for our virtual school, because if you think about it, our largest school building and student enrollment is North High School, about 1,600 students. Well, we have more students than that who are learning in the virtual program. So it's actually our largest facility, even though it's not really a facility yet. And, you know, the facility for virtual learning can be much smaller than a standard school. A school might be 150,000 square feet or something. And, you know, a virtual school can be 10,000, 12,000 square feet because it's simply the staff members delivering virtually. But it's still a very large number of students. I mean, it's one of the largest schools in the state of Iowa, if you will. And yet they're not just 3 or 4 grade levels like a high school would be. It's students in kindergarten through 12th grade. And so we do have some leadership positions. They've got to have a counselor. They've got to have a registrar. You know, those sorts of things are built into this. But the vast majority of the work that we're doing is to help with teaching positions, professional development for teaching positions, those sorts of things.
How many students are in virtual learning right now?
Oh, it's in the neighborhood of 1,500 right now. We started the year with almost 3,000. And then as the year has gone on and people have become more comfortable with the protocol we've got in place, they've been coming back to the in-person schooling. you know, we do hope or guess that our virtual school outside of the pandemic, after the pandemic, we'll probably settle in somewhere between 750 and 1,200 students, something like that, if we remain about the same size as we are now. And, you know, again, that's a large school in the state of Iowa. It's just a different kind of school because it's all delivered virtually. Respect that those board members have a job to do. They'll have to decide as a group, you know, that's in board in Sioux City is seven people. And so those seven people have to come together and make a collective, you know, majority-based decision on what we need to do. And I respect their job, and we will follow the direction they give me. I also have a job to do, which is to make recommendations to them on the best known uses of those money, those dollars. And so I'm simply doing my job right now, which is to structure this and bring forward recommendations. But I respect that the board, you know, more often than not, they tend to agree with the things we bring forward, but there will be things from time to time they don't agree with. And that's okay. That's the way this process is designed to work. And so if they don't allow us to move forward on one area, that'll be fine. We'll move forward in the other areas and do all that we can for kids.